back to another edition of City View with Mayor Tom Koch, a podcast, Quincy Podcast. My name is Mark Carey. I'm his media director, and we are here every day. But this is our weekly podcast where we get to sort of spell it out a little bit more when we're only talking about the COVID-19 coronavirus crisis. Mayor, welcome.
Thank you, Mark. Although I'd probably want to be talking about some other issues, but exactly. It is the issue at hand right now.
We are, and we are 6 feet apart, so let's just let the folks know that even though they
can't
see
6 feet apart,
us.
Not 6 feet under. Thank God.
Amen. So I want to give us an update on today's, at least this is at this time. We always record this around 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a Wednesday. The numbers we're getting will change, and they have been changing every day by a few, thank God, in Quincy. But I want to give us an update on that.
Sure. Well, keep in mind, too, that you know what the governor said, we all expect, and that is the number's going to go up, that the Massachusetts surge is expected somewhere between April 7th and April 17th. And that's when we think we would hit our peak. So everything we've been doing is trying to minimize that peak, to keep it suppressed, if you will. But as of today, and I talked to Ruth Jones, who's our commissioner of public health, doing a great job, her and her staff. Probably talked to her at least a couple times a day. I spoke to her about an hour ago, and we were at 116 confirmed cases in Quincy. We've had 7 deaths in Quincy. We've had about 30 people have recovered, another 100 or so that are being monitored. And I know the cases in Massachusetts is now approaching 7,000. So those are the straight stats on the cases themselves. Now, we all know, and doctors have said, there's probably people that have had it, didn't know they had it. There's probably people that are carrying it now that don't know they have it or are carrying it. A lot of this is a result of a lot more testing that's going on. And in Quincy, the early onslaught was really related to the Biogen convention in Boston. Cases related to that. And a lot of the cases now, the vast majority are healthcare workers that live in Quincy who have picked it up in service of what they're doing each and every day for the people that are sick. So it's not this out of control stat here that we're looking at that people are picking up out in the street somewhere. They, you know, most of it is tracked down to the sources, as I mentioned. But even another reminder, though, and we'll probably remind you several times, but I think everyone's getting sick of hearing it, but the social distancing is so important, so important. That's 6 feet apart, the constantly washing your hands, all the things to minimize the transmission of this disease, which seems fairly obvious, but, you know, we had to put people out in the parks to keep people from playing team sport games and things. So it's obvious, but people aren't fully paying attention to it, and we got to do that to suppress this. It's really choking out the virus by not connecting, so the virus continues. So it's that separation. And I know this is hard. It was interesting watching the governor yesterday, and he got a little emotional. We talked about he can't see his father. He talks to him on the phone, but he can't go see him, and for all the right reasons. And I know there's a lot of people that are having a hard time with this because, we all need to be touched. You know, we all need that hug, especially from our loved ones. So it's very difficult right now for people. But in order to avoid more people getting sick and dying, this is what we need to do.
I couldn't agree with you anymore. And we've seen some charts that would show the marginal growth rate has sort of steadied out a little bit. But that doesn't mean what's going to be happening in the next 2 weeks, because the governor's right. Over the next couple of weeks, we'll probably see a peak here along with the whole country. But this is actually working. This staying at home and this not going to work kind of a thing. That's what it's about. And that was extended, too, by the governor yesterday, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. Even, and I know people are watching whatever it is, CNN, Fox, MSNBC, whatever it is, and you're seeing the national experts up there, and then we see the governor and the state experts, and then we're trying to just share the information at the ground level and be smart about everything. And obviously, we're at the local level. It's where the rubber hits the road. So we're dealing with all these issues on the front lines, if you will, through our health department, through our fire department, our police department, Brewster Ambulance. Even our other departments are involved in some ways in dealing with all this. So we'll see what happens with the curve. These are all guesstimates based on what other countries have done and what's happened in those other countries. And let's hope that it's not a huge spike. We know it's going to increase, but let's hope it's not this, you know, massive spike.
So in May 4th is the date that it was extended to for a stay at home and for the non-essential businesses to be closed for. So
right.
That was a change from the governor yesterday. Also, the closure of hotels and Airbnbs and short-term rentals are also only for emergency use only, right?
That's correct. That was part of the announcement. So the May 4th thing, we knew it was going to be extended, and it did happen this week. So obviously we're tacking onto that. The May 4th was what they said last week the schools would go to. But just as you described, those non-essentials and all those other businesses has been extended as well to May 4th. So we're now talking internally, okay, what do we got in May we got to be looking at? You got Memorial Day in late May. We got Cleaner Greener. We got Senior Olympics. We got all those events that we're planning for that perhaps we'll make a decision next week or two probably, but they may have to be canceled or postponed as well. So again, all of the, no, nobody's happy about any of that, but it's all about trying to all of us participate in keeping this thing from spreading to our loved ones. That's what this is really all about. So we're watching all those things closely. I know that, Mark, we've talked about it a lot. We've got a number of restaurants open in Quincy. In fact, we've got food at home, but we've purposely gotten takeout a number of nights just to support the local establishments. Whether it's, I live in North Quincy, we've had Balducci's, we've had 16C, we've had Alba, we've had Fox and Hound, we've had Fours. I mean, you know, you try to support these people that are just trying to stay afloat. They're just trying to pay their bills and it might make money. So, you know, that's another aspect of this. And of course, tonight I have a school committee meeting. We'll be talking all about the educational side of this, which is a whole other component.
But by via computer is how you're having your school committee meeting, right?
It's actually a conference call. It won't be by computer. It's going to be on the phone.
Okay.
Nobody wants to look at my face.
Well, that's the people getting used to new ways of doing things. And that's, you had posted something really poignant on your Facebook page, on your own personal Facebook page. And I just want to talk about that for a second because it is a really strange time, but everyone's starting to look in. They're starting to look at their families. And there's a lot of good, there's a lot of bad, there's a lot of all kinds of scenarios here. But I mean, just talk a little bit about that and talk about your personal experience.
Yeah, I mean, it was just one of those moments I had that, you know, I was in prayer at the time. And I had a moment about these feelings I was getting, kind of overwhelming about really what's important. And our loved ones, our kids, our parents, that's what's important. And I reflect a little bit about growing up in a simpler time. The dinners around the table were huge. When you had a birthday, you had a cake after dinner that was homemade by your mother. It was in this extravagant parties and all that stuff that went on, that goes on today. I guess what I was trying to get at was you know, we got to get back to basics right now. That, and I talked about playing a board game with my daughter, which wouldn't have happened a month ago. It just wouldn't have. But getting back to what's important, getting back to basics, we're so caught up on that treadmill in life up until now that, you know, people are coming and going, flying around. And that's one of the problems with the adjustment of this is we're on-the-go society constantly. And, you know, aside from obviously the terrible sadness that some people have died and got sick from this, you know, there's an underlying message here, I think, for all of us. Slow it down. You know, let's think about what's really important. Enjoy the our loved ones who are around. I know that I look forward to going to work, and I'd go out of my mind just hanging around. And I know people are dealing with that, and I know parents home with their kids and trying to keep them busy and active. And so there's a lot of stress, I know, right now on a lot of people. But take a deep breath, whatever your faith background, say a prayer. Enjoy the time we have with our loved ones. You know, there's no sense in, you know, the old saying, you can't worry about things you can't control. I know it's easier than said than done, but less worrying and just deal with it day by day at this point. You know, we're going to get through this. There's no question as a society, as a community here in Quincy, we'll get through this and we're going to learn from things from it. I think there's going to be habits that will change from this going forward, all kinds of things that will happen. But, you know, you asked the question, it was really about reflecting on the terrific upbringing I had, one of seven kids, and my mother and father, material things were never important to them. We did one vacation week a year that we went away, and it wasn't Disney World. It wasn't a trip in Europe. It was a cottage somewhere in the Cape or in New Hampshire. It wasn't a vacation for my mother. She, poor thing, she was cooking all day. Just get finished with your breakfast. We're coming in looking for lunch. And I look back at it. But it was just simpler time, and it was, you know, the time together that we had, sharing stories, sharing laughs, playing cards or a board game. We don't do that anymore. And, you know, this is a nice reminder that getting back to some of those basics would probably be a good thing for all of our mental health long term.
And do not be afraid. And this too shall pass. Although it is a tough time right now, it is difficult. I think that's great advice, Mayor. I think that's some people need to hear those kind of things. It got a great response when you posted it from the community, and I think that was interesting.
Well, as you know, I don't post too often.
You don't.
But it just kind of came to me, and I, you know, I appreciate people weighing in on it. I get some texts about it and so forth. But just from the heart, that's all.
Family, you know, and friends must be calling you as they are with me. I mean, my daughter is a nurse and working at Boston Medical, and she's working with the COVID patients. And, you know, she can't see me for a while.
Yeah.
So I won't be able to see her for months or two, or a couple months is what she's saying.
Right.
So it's a lot to take in. So
it is, and you know, we got a you know, one of our boys is in the Marine Corps. We FaceTime him over the weekend. He was going to be going out in the field for training for a couple of weeks. So we're used to that, not seeing him as often. But in these times, you think about him a lot more.
Yeah.
And when we have the chance to FaceTime, we do it, you know, with my other two kids. So it's, you know, again, we'll get through this. We just got to be smart about it. We got to make some adjustments. And there are some lessons in all of this in the end.
Well, let's get on to some other things that city-wise that we're talking about. Basically, this is everything is shut down. This is what's happening now, 24/7, coming up with scenarios, coming up with all kinds of different plans, plan A, plan B. We have a homeless population, as do most cities of our size and smaller and all around the world. But we have a couple plans in place. I want to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, we got a number of things going on. As you know, Mark, we're constantly planning. We're constantly executing, planning contingencies for what may be. You know, we plan for the worst and hope for the best, as they say. And yeah, we're trying to stay ahead of it. We wouldn't not want to have a breakout at the shelter. Now, Father Bill's shelter on Broad Street, it's been there for a long time. The homeless shelters, generally people are tighter. There's not that space and distancing that you'd like to have. So in order to accomplish that, we've come up with a plan. I want to thank some people. You may remember Joe Finney, who was a city councilor for years. He's been in the homeless housing world for a long, long time, and his organization statewide is important. And he was helpful in conversations. Manic Community Health was helpful, and certainly Father Bill's, John Wozwinski, and his team were helpful. I called Paul Goldman from the YMCA. I said, Paul, you're just around the corner from the shelter. You're close to the public. Do you think we could set up a shelter in here so we could spread out the folks so they're not on top of each other? But he didn't hesitate. He said, yes, whatever we can do. So we put together a plan. We now have it all set up. And I believe today or tonight that we're going to begin having the first night in there. The Y is staffing it along with Father Bill's. Manic Community Health is doing the monitoring of the health checks on these individuals. The police department will have a person there for security. So it's been a well-coordinated effort and for all the right reasons. You don't want to wait till something happens.
Yeah, right.
We're trying to stay ahead of it, you know. Mm-hmm. Manic Community Health, by the way, has set up a tent at West Quantum Street for their patients coming in. They're testing them out in the tent, so they're not bringing sick people into an environment that there's a lot of other sick people in there for different sicknesses. You don't want to get them exposed to this. So Harvard Vanguard, they said they're working with an organization to set up a tent up at Crown Colony to do testing up there. I think it's Convenient MD. They're an urgent care facility working with Harvard Vanguard. And you know, we're coordinating with all these organizations, these groups, try to make all the right decisions. Ruth Jones, who's our health commissioner, as I said, she's been phenomenal. She's really been kind of like that clearinghouse, dealing with all the first responders, fire, police, Brewster, and everybody's checking in with her on not only the stats, but the guidelines and the latest that's coming now from the state DPH. So she's been phenomenal. Her team's been phenomenal. Everyone's just trying to do the right thing. Everyone's trying to be helpful. You know, and as you know, we've talked about people looking to be helpful, and we've decided to set up a fund for that.
Which we're going to announce tomorrow, Thursday. So I highly recommend that you go to our social media, folks, if you haven't been there. So our social media, it's also on QATV. If you have Comcast, every half hour, the mayor's video every day is on there. Every half hour it shows. But the mayor will be giving some more information on that new relief fund that the city is going to be offering. But also, we have some rental assistance also that's going to be coming too, right?
Yes, we do. Actually, the Chamber of Commerce, Tim Cahill, has been very helpful. We've asked them if they'd be the clearinghouse for rental assistance for folks that are in the hospitality world. So people that are working in the restaurants, waiters, waitresses, dishwashers,
hotels.
Somebody working at a hotel. So they'll be the clearinghouse. I had recommended last week to the Affordable Housing Trust Committee to do this appropriation, and they didn't hesitate. They all voted in favor of it. So we're making some money available for rental assistance, as I just described. But also, we're giving a portion of money to the Quincy Community Action Program. Bethany Strollo, another pro, they have regular rental assistance on a regular basis anyway. But we're augmenting that, and we're suggesting people that may be in the hair salon, a nail salon, or
gyms,
those other types
things like that,
places that have been laid off, can go to the Quincy Community Action. There'll be more to announced tomorrow on the details on that and the appropriate phone numbers and contact people. And again, we're using some of that Affordable Housing Trust money to assist these people as they go through this difficult time. A lot of people that are in the world of being laid off are getting, you know, will be getting decent unemployment benefits, but somebody that depends on, in the hospitality, would depend on tips really to live, that unemployment check is not nearly as big. So so we're grateful that we're able to do this and try to keep up with some of those folks so they don't lose their home and lose their apartment and fall behind. And
what I like about that is, you know, the federal government's doing what they can to sort of give out that $2 trillion that they're putting out. The state government, and the governor's been doing a lot as far as grants for communities, and we're doing our own part, too, by helping our own.
Isn't absolutely.
That, that's how it works.
Well, yeah, it is how it works. And we're a city of 100,000. I'm not going to wait for somebody to tell me what I should be doing.
Yeah.
We're making decisions on the ground with the best minds around, informed decisions. We take guidance from the feds, guidance from the state. But I'm not going to wait from the state for permission to open up the YMCA to stay ahead of the issue with the homeless. I mean, we're doing it. And I know that we're now being used a little bit as a model statewide, and great, whatever we can do to be helpful, that's what we should be doing. I said it kind of in jest the other day, but it did make it in the paper. You know, in the winter of 2015, when we got clobbered with snow in that February, we were every day, it was like a war zone, you know, with a map carving the city up, how to best to keep everybody safe, to plow, to remove the snow, because people couldn't see pulling in and out of streets.
Yeah.
You know, 3 months later, I was being criticized by the city council. We spent too much money. Well, you know what? When you're on the ground making the decisions for public health and safety of people, you're not thinking about the money. I'm not saying we'd be stupid about the money, be crazy about the money, but we got to make decisions that are informed decisions, that really the goal is to make it as safe as possible for the health of our residents. And that's what we're doing.
And safety is first.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. Also, just a couple of things. The planning department has set up a small business resource guide, folks. So check that out. Go to quincyma.gov. You can check that out. Go to the planning office. And we've also created a list of restaurants and takeout and delivery that you can check out as well. That's also at quincyma.gov. And you want to talk about how to get in touch with Ruth. We have Ruth Jones, and we have a hotline.
Yeah, there's a hotline down at the health department, 617-376-1288, that has a number of bullets, if you will, of information on that. If you want to specifically to talk to a person in the health department, 617-376-1272, they'd be happy to help you. You can go, again, you can go to quincyma.gov and go to the health department. They've been terrific, the health department. They're working their tails off down there, so we're grateful for that as well.
And you've also, just one other thing, because somebody did come knocking at the door yesterday to try and pay their property tax bill, but the due date has been extended to...
To June 1st, yes. The quarterly tax bills, this is the final quarter. The fiscal year is July 1 to June 30th, so the bill has been is hitting the street, but instead of a May 1st due date, we've extended it to June 1st to give people a little time to sort through their issues and take care of business, so... I know that's probably going to be helpful to some folks as well. And in addition, we've also been in touch with all the food pantries in the city, and we've extended some resources to them to help them, because I know in talking to them directly, or whether I know you had a conversation with one of the pantries, but they're all feeling a little bit strained for resources for sure. Some cases they need volunteers. In some cases they just need some money to buy more product because they're going through more product than usual.
Yeah, they really are overwhelmed. I got to talk to a couple of them yesterday, and you know, that's a fun call to make when we get to call and say that we're going to appropriate some money to them. So they are very appreciative to you on that one. They really need it right now.
Food they do, really and this is the stuff we should be doing in government. And by the way, speaking of that, I'd be remiss if I didn't say, look, we're all in this together. Governor Baker and Lieutenant Governor Polito have been phenomenal. I think they've been great leaders, but they've been in touch constantly. They check in, we text, we talk. I just talked to the Lieutenant Governor today, and DCR is going to be shutting down all the parking lots around the facilities now, including Wellison Beach, to keep people from that, congregating in groups. So they've been phenomenal. Congressman Lynch, you've been on the phone with him for several days on the stimulus package, what that means to Quincy and how we're breaking it down. Him and his staff have been just terrific. I know our legislature, Maureen Mariano, and our rep, Senator Keenan, they're doing things. They're working on all kinds of things that are appropriate and related to what we're going on. For example, they discuss it now whether we suspend the MCAS tests for the rest of the year, because that's a requirement under the law. So there's adjustments they have to make, and they've been checking in on things. The city council has a meeting Monday night. We've been in regular contact with them. They check in all the time. And of course, they voted for that appropriation for $500,000 we took from the snow and ice account to help us offset some of these bills. So they get it. They're on top of it. Tonight, we have a school committee meeting. I know we've been in touch with our school committee colleagues about the education requirements and what we should be doing for our kids short of being in the classroom. So that's ongoing, and they care. They're working it. So I can't say enough about, you know, everybody working together. I mentioned Ruth Jones, the police chief, fire chief, and all the staff. Unbelievable. Krista Bonner from Brewster Ambulance and their team. Unbelievable. All those nurses and doctors and technicians working out there, front lines. And all those people that make it happen around them. There's a lot of admin. There's maintenance people. There's all kinds of folks that work in a hospital setting that don't have a medical degree that are part of this. And they're leaving their families, going to work every day to benefit those people that are sick. Remarkable stuff going on. Out of every crisis and every bad thing that happens, there's always good that comes out of it. And we continue to witness that really on the ground here in Quincy.
And folks, especially listening to this podcast, pretty much everybody who is listening within earshot of this podcast, they're able to get to our social media sites. If you're not on Facebook and you can't follow our Facebook page at City of Quincy or at Twitter, you can also just Google YouTube and find the mayor's daily videos that we're putting out. So we're putting out daily videos. You listen to this also on QATV. This podcast plays on QATV as well as the daily videos every single day. So you want to find out what's happening daily. The mayor gives updates on the numbers and the cases, and that's pretty much it, Mayor.
Yes, indeed.
So thank you very much, folks, for listening in. Tune in next time to City View with Mayor Tom Koch on Podcast Quincy.